the daf in the daf yomi, even though we're already past Klal Gadol, I thought maybe it would be kedai just to examine one of the Lamed Tes Melachos. It happens to be the first of the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Melacha of Zoreah, that's found right in front of you on what I titled page number one. So the Mishnah writes, Avos Melachos Arboim Chaser Achas HaZoreah. Generally, we translate Zoreah as referring to putting a seed in the ground, planting a seed. The Gemara tells us that the first 11 Melachos mentioned in the Mishnah are what the Gemara calls Sidur HaDepas. Sidur HaDepas means Melachos that are going to be utilized in the preparation of bread, of a cake. And the Nafka Mina, with reference to this matter, is what the shear for the Melacha is. Every Melacha requires a shear before you violate that Melacha. And in general, Sidur HaDepas, the shear for that is a grogeres. However, Rashi, right away, comments, if you take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah, he points this out. When the Mishnah lists the Melacha of Ofer, which is also the Melacha of Bishul, so Rashi in the section that I underlined says, Rashi, B'shi'urim shel elu k'gogeres chutz mi'choresh. Rashi said the shiurim of the first 11 Melachas, with the exception of Choresh, is the shiur of grogeres. That shiur for Choresh is kol shiul. Rashi quotes a Mishnah on the Daf Kof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah Perek HaBoneh. So the Pashis of Rashi, that Zoreah, the shiur for Zoreah, is the shiur of grogeres. If you take a look at the Rambam, which is also found here, the Rambam is found on page number 4 in Perek Ches. So in Perek Ches, the Rambam tells you, with reference to the Melachas of Shabbos, so the Rambam writes over here in Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. Let's just read the first Halacha Aleph in Perek Ches. HaChoresh Kol Shehu Chayev. The Rambam tells you that the shear for Choresh is a Kol Shehu. That's the Mishnah that Rashi quoted in Perek HaBoneh. And then the Rambam, however, says something which differs from Rashi. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam tells you HaZoreah Kol Shehu Chayev. There's a machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam regarding the Melacha of Zoreah, what the shear for Zoreah is. Rashi said here in our Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel that the shear for Zoreah is like all the other Sidur of the past, Trigogeres, and the Rambam Shita is no. The Rambam says the shear for Zoreah and Choresh, both of them have a shear of Kol Shehu. Question what the machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam is relating to this matter. So there's a comment of the Minchas Chinuch. He talks about in the name of the Prima Godin. So he indicates that there's Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, but what exactly is the argument whether the shear of Zoreah is the same as shear of Choresh, or as Rashi indicated, that the shear of Zoreah is the same as all the other shear of Grogeres, and only the shear of Choresh is the shear of Kol Shehu. So Asal Beishik, a number of times, commented that he thought the position of Rashi is that Choresh is really not included among these Melachas of Sidur HaDepas. Even though the Gemara says in Dafayin Dalid, there are 11 Melachas of Sidur HaDepas, he felt Choresh was really an independent category. Because Charisha really is the act that precedes everything. What does a person do when they're involved in Charisha? They're plowing the ground. The Gemara defines Charisha as Ripui Ara. I'm softening the ground. Why am I softening the ground? Because I want to prepare the ground for the purpose of eventually sowing, seeding, tilling, cultivating. All the malachas that follow upon the heels of Charisha are essentially malachas after the ground has already been prepared. But Charisha essentially is a preparation. And in the act of Charisha, you're not really being metapel with the zera of the chita. You're not dealing with the seed itself. So really, it's a melacha that precedes all the other melachas of Sidur HaDepas. It's a melacha that's a kind of hakdama, if you will, that enables us to go ahead and take care of the rest of Sidur HaDepas. So that's the case. The logic would seem to prevail that the shear of Charisha is different than all the other melachas. All the other malachas may have a shia of grogeres, but harisha, because it's just a preparatory step before I'm going to go ahead and take the seed and plant it into the ground, the shia will not be a grogeres. Masha'en king zorea, that's the malacha that falls upon the heels of choresh, after I plow the field, after I soften the ground, now I can go ahead and plant the seed and place the seed in the ground, and that is considered to be part of this entire litany of malachas, which are called Sidur de Pas, preparing to bake bread and the like, and the shia for that would be a grogeres. The question is, that explains, of course, the shita of Rashi. The question is, what is the shita of the Rambam? The Rambam contended that both these malachas have the same shia. Both Choresh and Zorea have the shia of Kolshu. So what is the shita of the Rambam? Because why should Zorea not be among the malachas which are called Sidur de Pas? So somehow the assumption is, at least according to the Rambam, that by Zorea, even if a person plants a seed which is a kolshu, a minute amount, a very small seed, but undoubtedly from that small seed can emerge a full grogeres. That small seed can germinate, and a full grogeres can emerge from it. So one can argue here that even a kolshu is only considered to be a shear. And those potentially, right now, before this seed is minute, is tiny, is insignificant, but potentially it can germinate, it can grow into a larger kind of seed. And as a result, apparently that is the assumption of the Shitas HaRambam, that the assumption is that even a kolshu is already chayev as well regarding Zorea. So there's a machoget between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi's position is that you need a shear before all, that in actuality you have to have a shear. And the Rambam Shita is that even potentially, if I have a small seed that can germinate and grow into a larger seed, that's already considered to be sufficient. Almost as if the machlokes is whether you look at Befo'al or you look at the Bekoach. You look actually at the reality, the present reality, or you look at the potential of what possibly might emerge. So this is a very fascinating machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, and a very important machlokes. Now this is relevant to, in general, the definition of the malacha. If you take a look in the Gemara in Vayikra, and we'll come back to the Gemara in Shabbos momentarily, but on page number 2 of this handout, there's also a Gemara at the beginning of Vayikra, on the base of the base, which is underlined. The Gemara says, Itmar, ha-menakesh v'hamashke mayim v'zroyim b'Shabbos. The Gemara talks about the malacha of Nikush, Nun Chaf Vav Shin, which Rashi translates as the following: Tolesh asavim ra'im mitoch atovim. Essentially, you're pulling out weeds. You want to go ahead and try your best to remove whatever elements that grow that impede the growth that's taking place in your garden. So Rashi says, V'chi akri lehu, samchi hanitve. If you remove the weeds, we all know that weeds interfere with the growth of the vegetation in my garden. So what I want to do is I want to remove those weeds. Even in modern parlance, we speak about evil weeds that sometimes appear in society. So we want to uviyata harabi kibecha. We want to eliminate those evil weeds in order that you not interfere with societal growth and the like. Anyway, the Gemara says, Hamenakesh, that's the malacha of Nikush. Let's say a person goes ahead and you want to irrigate your field. You want to water the plants and the like, your mashke mayim on Shabbos. Here Rashi also translates in Maikotin, Hamashke mayim bezroyim, says Rashi, Shezorak mayim beikrei ha'asavim. Very important to read Rashi with exactitude, with great precision. Rashi here says that the water is going to be thrown, but where is the water thrown? Be'ikrei ha'asavim, literally on the asav, on the grass that I want to grow. The grass that I want to go ahead and begin to bloom and prosper, so the water, the irrigation is directed towards that grass. So the Gemara asks, Why are you chayav? What malachas do I violate in these two situations? Of nikush and mashkin zarmayim lezoyim. Mishum mayim masrinim vein. The halacha, of course, as we know, that ein onchin umkein mazhirin, a person cannot be punished for violating Shabbos unless they're first given a hasra, a warning. So what is the hasra that's given for these two actions? The Gemara presents a machoges between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba amar mishum choresh. Rabba says that the violation that you engaged in is a violation of choresh, of plowing. So offhand, we don't exactly see where is the act of plowing. We just defined plowing a few moments ago as being ripuyara, you're softening the ground. Here, what have I done? Essentially, I eliminated the bed weeds. And the second case, I watered the ground. So perhaps one might argue that that itself is an action of softening the ground. Water tends to soften the ground. So Rabbi contends that I'm chayav mishum choresh. Rashi over here commenting, Mishum Mayim Masrinim Vein, says Rashi, the Mayim Malacha Ka Chashrina Vein. What Malacha is involved in? The Badai Kotzer No Chashrina. There's no action of Kotzer. Why not? It would seem to be that Nikush is exactly Kotzer. Nikush, when I go ahead and remove the weeds, that's certainly an act of Kotzer. Kotzer means when I detach something that's Mechubu Lekarka and I In fact, I removed it from its state of being attached. It's now detached. She'enu miskavim lito ha'asovim, says Rashi, no, but my intention is not to take asovim, el lesake asovim hatovim shebesodeh. Because Rashi says, why is it not kotzer? Because even though I'm actually cutting something which is mechuba l'karka, I'm making it tolush, but einu miskavim. That's not my intention. So since it's an einu miskavim, you can't be chayav for kotzer. In general, the halacha in Shabbos, as we well know, meleches machsheves osra Torah. First, I had to have kavana to violate that melacha. So here, I did not have kavana for kotzer, even though I'm doing an act of kotzer, and therefore I will not be chayav for kotzer min haTorah. Then Rashi goes on to say, choresh v'zoreh v'kotzer, avos melacha sein v'perek ha'gobo. Rashi tells you that these three melachas, as we'll see in a few moments going back to page one, constitute an ab melacha. So now the Gemara goes on to explain the position of both Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, who argues, the Gemara says, he says, Yechai Mishum Zorea. In both cases, where I remove evil weeds, or where I go ahead and irrigate the property, I water the ground. So he contends, Rabbi Yosef, that is an act of Zorea. That's an act of sowing, of planting a seed. The Gemara goes on to explain his position. Omar Rabba. Rabba, who held that the Chiv and the Shem Choresh, he says, Kabasi Didi Mistabra. I think my story is correct. Ma Darko Shem Choresh Lepuya Ara, Hainami Mapuya Ara. Basically, what is Chavisha, as we said, softening the ground. That's exactly what I'm doing. Because by removing the weeds, I'm in effect enhancing the possibility of growth to take place in a more successful fashion. Why am I doing that? Because I watered the ground, or I removed the weeds. So watering the ground, as we said, is certainly an act of softening the ground. But even Nikush, the act of removing weeds, also somehow by virtue of removing these weeds, so now the ground is more fertile to be able to grow in the proper way. And that, according to the position of Rabbah, is called Choresh. Amar Rav Yosef, Kavos Didi Mistabra, no, he contends that the issue is Zorea. Ma darko she Zorea litzmuchi peira. The idea of Zorea, why do I plant the seed in the ground? Because I want growth to take place. Achanani matzme peira. Here, both actions. The action of Nikush, removing weeds, and the action of Mashke Zorayim, are actions that are going to promote growth. And therefore, that would be the halacha, namely that I'm liable, not Mishum Choresh, but rather Mishum Zorea. The Gemara goes on, and let's just read a bit further. We're going to ask the question of both of these positions of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Lididoch kasha, according to you, Abai said to Rabbi, you obviously contend that you're only liable for one avera. Mishum choresh, mishum zorea, lo. You argue that there's only one avera here, the avera of choresh, not the avera of zorea. The Rabbi Yosef kasha, Rabbi Yosef is the opposite. Mishum Zorea, and in Mishum Choresh, lo. You're only viable because of Zorea. You're not viable because of Choresh. No, the assumption is that you're not chayav because of Zorea and Choresh. You can't be chayav somehow for two malachas. And the Gemara is going to say, it's not true. Is that true? Is that your hanocha? That's your premise? That premise is incorrect. A person doesn't act of pruning. You prune a tree. Zomer. On Shabbos. But why am I pruning the tree? Normally I'm trimming excess foliage. Excess bark, excess wood on the tree. That's the act of Zomer. But in this case, I'm doing it not just for that reason. I'm also doing it because I want the twigs. I want to make a barbecue. I want to make a bonfire. So the Gemara says, you chayv twice. Achad mishum noter, achad mishum koter. On the one hand, you're engaging in an action where you're detaching something from the tree and it becomes tolush. That's called koter. On the other hand, you're engaging in an act of netiyah. Why is that so? So Rashi explains over here. Look at Rashi. Zomer b'Shabbos, etzarech le'etim chayav, mishum kotzer, shari etzarech le'etim. You need the wood. So it's not a question of, like we said earlier, of ein miskaving. No, here it's miskaving. Here you have in mind to use the wood. The chayav mishum noteh. So why am I chayav also, why am I liable for the second avera? The mishum hazimu gadli tvei. Because now I'm happy that the pruning has, in effect, done what? Been able to create a situation where there's better growth, the growth will be enhanced, the growth will be improved. So what do we see? That it's possible to be chayav twice. It's possible to do one action, and that action should engender two averos. So why does Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah, why do each one of them contend that in the cases that we mentioned earlier, that menakesh and mashke mayim lizroi b'shabbos, the only chayav are the mishum choresh and mishum zareya, we see it's possible to be chayav for both. So the Gemara says to this, Kasha, the Gemara leaves with a question on this issue. And the Gemara says that this is a question on both positions of Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. So even though Rab Kahana, who said this halacha, Zomer, Ritzorach, La'etim, Chayim, Shayim, contends that he could be chayav Mishum Kotzer, Mishum Zorea, even though there was one pu'ula, there was one action, one maisa that was done, however, it would seem that it's not possible, at least that's what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef contend, they say that may be so. Maybe you can be chayav mishum, as the Gemara mentioned over here, because of kotzer and also because of notea, but there's no way that somehow choresh and zorea cannot coexist. Those two malachas, there's no way you can be chayav simultaneously for both choresh and Zorah. This seems to be the position of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. They contend that either you're chayav mishum choresh or you are chayav mishum Zorah. And derech agav, from this Gemara, which is also quoted in Shabbos and Daf and Gimel, on page number one, one could bring a bit of a raya to Rashi, that Rashi contended, as we saw earlier, Rashi assumed that somehow there's a distinction between choresh and all the other malachas. In terms of the shear, we mentioned it at the very outset, that according to Rashi, Choresh, the shear is Kolshu. That's a Mishnah and Habone and Daf Kuf Gimel. However, regarding Zoraya and all the other malachas that Siddur of the past, the shear is Grogeris. So the argument was that Rashi apparently held that Chavisha is outside the category of Siddur of the past and not Zriya. And this Gemara would seem to be a bit of a riot. That's why the Gemara is Mechalek, again, that you have two malachas of Siddur of the Pas, and you can go ahead and be chayav machmashteyem because of both of them, even in one maaseh, masha'en kein, where I have two different malachas that are varying, that are diverging one from the other. They're from different starim. One is part of Siddur of the Pas, and one is not part of Siddur of the Pas. They're not mitzaref to be mechayav on both of them. But somehow this seems to be the understanding of the position of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, that Choresh and Zorea somehow, even though Rabbi Kahana argued Zomer, but Torah for Eitzim, Chayav Shtayim, Yechayav twice, Mishum Kotzer, and Mishum Noteah. By the way, Noteah is exactly the same as Zorea. Rashi points out in Shabbos that one refers to Zrayim, one refers to Ilanos. It's the same principle of trying to promote, enhancing the planting, the vegetation that's going to take place. But somehow, Choresh and Zoreah, that's the assumption that they can't come together. They can't converge. That's the halacha somehow of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. It needs a svara, but the svara would be, as I said earlier, that somehow the two really are to be set apart one from the other. I'll mention
Can I try to clarify? The question of whether Harisha is parsed year to pass or is not parsed year to pass, that's the ramification is whether you could be over on Harisha and Zriya at the same time. Is that what you're just saying?
Correct.
Okay.
And Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, in response to the question that the Gemara asked to Rav Kahana, you see, Rav Kahana, you could have one action, and that action leads to two averos. But somehow Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say, no, not when it comes to Harisha and Zriya. The Gemara doesn't really tell us why. The Gemara leaves it with a kasha, but we see that somehow Harisha and Zriya are different. And perhaps the difference is, I mentioned earlier, that even though the Gemara speaks of 11 melachos of Sidur of the Pas, Harisha is really in the seventh category. Because Sidur of the Pas really begins with the act of seeding, putting the seed in the ground. Harisha is a preparatory step. It precedes actually the act of Zoreah. You prepare the ground now for the other melachos of Sidur of the Pas. So somehow you have to assume that Harisha and Zriya are not somehow, they don't converge. And that's why Rabbi Rabbi Yosef contended, they argued that there's only a chiyuv for one of them and not for both. I'll mention while I'm at it, going back to page number one, which is our Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos that we began with. So the Gemara actually, we'll read a bit of the Gemara itself. The Gemara on the third line comments, Hazoreah v'Achoresh, quoting these two melachos, says the Gemara, the Gemara is concerned about the Seder Hadvarim. How do you explain the Seder of the Mishnah? The Mishnah starts with Zoreah and goes to Choresh, when the reality of these two melachas belie that Seder. Obviously, what does the person do first? You have to prepare the ground for putting the seed in the ground, namely the act of Harisha. So why does the Mishnah reverse the order? It says the Gemara, Michti, Michru, Karbi, Bereisha. Generally, what we do first is we do the act of plowing. As Rashi says, Michru Karbi refers to Chorshim. Lishni Choresh, rather, Lishni Zoreah. The order of the Mishnah is not correct. It should have stated first Choresh and then Zoreah. That's the correct chronological order of the agricultural events that take place. So the Gemara answers Tana Beretz Yisrael Koi. Our Tana is talking about Eretz Yisrael, where the ground, Rashi says, is very hard. And therefore, since the ground is very hard, there's no way that you'll be able to go ahead and plant a seed in the ground without doing an act of Harisha. So what does the Mishnah tell you? Tana Beretz Yisrael Koi Dizari Bereisha. First, they put a seed in the ground. V'hadar Kavi, and then they do an act of Harisha. Look in Rashi. Rashi explains Beretz Yisrael, says Rashi, Koshehi, Ve'en Yochel V'chasos B'lo Harisha. Since the ground is hard, so even though you planted a seed, and then essentially a seed was planted, and then what happened? The seed itself not be able to really penetrate the ground because of the ground being kosher, as Rashi says. The seed will not be able to go into the ground. So what do you have to do? An act of Harisha. V'yashminam ha'nami Harisha hi. So this is called an act of Harisha. And essentially, how many times do you do Harisha? Twice. Harisha is first done before to prepare the ground, and then a seed is placed in the ground, but that's apparently not sufficient. And Rashi says you have to do another act of Harisha in order to cover the seed. So in effect, we did Harisha twice, so the Mishnah's order reflects the reality of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara then goes on to say, Tana, Hazorea, Vahazomer, Vanotea, Vahamadrich, Vahamarkim, Kula Malacha Arasein. The Gemara now lists here five different pu'ulos. In general, one of the very striking things that we find in Lashon HaKodesh, that each pu'ula has a different verb that describes it. And each specific action is described both in Tanakh and in Chazal using different verbs, which of course more or less define the Malacha very precisely. So Zoreah refers to putting a seed in the ground. Zomer is pruning. Notea is planting. The last two, Mabrich and Markiv. So Mabrich from the Lashon Kilchaticha called Berech, and Markiv, which comes from Harkava, which refers to a kind of grafting that takes place. Mabrich is bending, the way we bend our knee to Hashem is Barach. So now we're going to bend the foliage. And all this is for what purpose? The Gemara calls it Melach Arasei. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains that there's a common denominator to all these five Melachas. What are they? It says Rashi, Dezomer Nami Litzmuche Ilanahu. The reason why I prune a tree in order to enhance the growth. The Nafkamina, Rashi says, what's a Nafkamina? But the Gemara makes this statement, it's all Melach Achas. Di Avale Kulam Bahadi Zorea. Let's say I do all of them together with Zorea. I'm only getting chayv once. The also malacha arbe main malacha achas ain't a chayv al achas. And Rashi goes on to explain zorea ab malacha, notea nami ab malacha. Rashi refers to what I said a second ago that really notea and zorea are synonymous. The ainu zorea elos hazeb bezroyim bezebi lanos v'chein mavrich umarkim. So too, these two also. Rashi indicates are considered to be, as Rashi mentioned, avos melacha, but then Rashi has a comment, avos zomer is considered to be a tolda. What a fascinating statement on the part of Rashi. Rashi said the first four are considered to be avos. One refers to zroyim, one refers to ilanos. But Rashi says that even though they're all mentioned together as one line item, but zomer is considered to be a tolda. You take a look at the Rambam, you don't have actually have it in front of you, but the Rambam Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, tells you that Zomer is an Ad. The Rambam indicates that, unlike Rashi, in the Rambam, you actually look on page number four, I'm sorry, on page number four, so the Rambam quotes this line of the Gemara in Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, V'chein, I mean, he really defines these Malachos. But that's in Halacha Aleph and Beis, where he mentions both Harisha and Zriya. And then the Ram goes on in Halacha Gimel. V'chein al Zorea Zroyim, on Notea Ilanos. He tells you the distinction between Zorea and Notea. As Rashi said, one refers to Zroyim, one is Ilanos. O Hamadrich Ilanos, O Hamarkiv, O Hazomer, Kol Eilu Av Echad Heim, the Avos Melachas, V'inyan Echadu. It's all one. It's all the same idea. Shikolachas Mehem, Litzmoach Dover Hu Miskavim. What is my interest? My interest is to enhance the growth. So therefore the Rambam assumes, as seems to be the simple pshat of the Gemara, that all then would constitute an Ab Malacha. But Rashi here disassociates himself from that position, and Rashi says the first four are Avos. But Zomer is considered to be a Tolda. You don't have Rabbi Chananel in front of you, but Rabbi Chananel in front of us indicates, when the Gemara makes this statement that we have here, Zorea, Zomer, Notea, Mabrich, and Markiv. So Rabbi Chananel's position is that even Notea and Mabrich and Markiv are also Tolados. But there's a fundamental Machlokes over here, and obviously the Machlokes is very significant. That's why I want to mention it before I discuss really just some basic elements of Zorea. What's the argument whether Zomer, which I mentioned, according to Rashi is a Tolda, according to the Rambam it's an Av, according to Rabbi Chananel, that he assumes that the first two, Zomer and Zorea, are different than Notea, Mabrich, and Markiv, that Notea, Mabrich, and Markiv are all Tolados. So the Kartel Shabbos, the Tiferes Yisrael, has a famous Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos. And there he writes that every Av Malacha, there are two parts to it. There's a Pa'ula and there's a Tachlis, which means there's an action associated with every Malacha, and there's also the goal. What is my interest? Look, there's a Maisa, there's a certain action that each Malacha entails, and then there's the ultimate goal of that malacha. He calls it pu'ula as opposed to tachlis. We'll see actually that this idea is found in Rishonim. It's mentioned by Tosis and other Rishonim as well, but that's the language that he used in his Akdama. I think Rav Soloveitchik expressed it in a slightly different way. He said there's the tsuras ha-malacha, namely the way the malacha is done, and then there's also what he called the malachas machsheves of the malacha. There has to be the ultimate idea that underlies this malacha. What is my goal? What's my ultimate intention? So it's similar to the way the Kalkelas HaShabbos expressed it, verse Yisrael. He calls it Pe'ula V'Tachlis. Afterwards, you call it the Tzuras HaMalacha or the Malachim HaShemes of the Malacha, but it's the same idea. And this seems to be a Machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam, let's say regarding Zomer. Let's just use that as an example. Since I mentioned that according to Rashi, Zomer is a Toga, and the Rambam Shita is that Zomer is an Av, then essentially, what is the Tachlis of this action of Zomer? Zomer means, we said, pruning a tree. The Tachlis of this Malacha seems to be the same as Zorea Noteya. What am I trying to do? The Malachim Machshemes, which is the Tachlis, is exactly the same. So what's the difference between Zomer and Zorea Noteya? The difference is not in the Malachim Machshemes, not in the Tachlis, not in the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is identical. The distinction lies in the Tzuras HaMalacha, or the Pu'ula. And that's why I told you earlier that different verbs are used to describe different malachas. The act of zomer, and people have actually shears that are used for pruning, and the other two activities that we mentioned, obviously are done in terms of the pu'ula, they're done differently, and the distinction is fairly evident. In the case of zorea, what am I doing? I'm planting a seed in the ground. In the case of notea, I'm taking a shoot and trying to plant a shoot. So in effect, I am taking something, either a seed or a shoot, and I'm doing a maisa b'guf ha-davar. I'm doing a maisa in the seed itself over the shoot, and my intention is that it should grow, that it should germinate, that it should begin to blossom. And so too, in the act of hakava, or the act of habracha, when I bend, which as I mentioned is the malacha of mabrich, ki l'chot ticha kol berech. When I bend, we bend in homage to Hashem Yisbarach. The idea of bending the different vines of the tree or the different parts of the tree is in order to enhance the growth of the tree. The idea of grafting is in order to enhance growth. So therefore, in all these cases, what am I doing? I'm doing an action in the guf hadavar. I'm in contact. And that's what I was medayek before in Rashi. That Rashi, when Rashi translated, in the Lashon, if you take a look at Rashi here in the Dafayin Gimel, you can see it again, it's kedai to see it. Rashi is very careful to translate. He writes that, why is Zomer Chayav? Rashi says, it's a Tovim Notea, Dilatzmuche of it. The idea is to enhance the growth that's going to take place. That's the Tachlis. Next, says Rashi, Binotea Gufei, V'chein Mavrichu Markiv. In all these situations, I'm doing a Maisa B'guf HaDavar. I'm in contact with the item that I want to grow. So then Rashi comments, Chaya Mishum Zorea, he explained that Zorea is an Ab Bizroim, and this is an Ab Beilonos. But again, the point I'm trying to make is that we're dealing with the Ikrei Asovim, as Rashi commented already in Mari Kotten. However, when it comes to Zomer, Zomer seems to be different. Even though there's a litany of Malachas mentioned over here, and Zomer is among them, but Zomer is different than Zorea, and different than Otea, and different than Mabrich, and different than Markiv. What's the difference? The difference is exactly what I'm just mentioning. I'm doing an action, but my action is to remove the weeds. I'm trying to prune the tree, means I remove the evil weeds, as I called them earlier, in order that the other parts of the tree should be able to grow more effectively, should be able to grow more efficaciously. So in effect, what am I doing? I am not directly doing a maisa beguf hadavar. No, the guf hadavar are the other parts of the tree that I want to enhance their growth. How do I enhance the growth of the other parts of the tree? By removing these evil weeds. So Rashi sees the distinction between Zomer and these other malachas. So even though the Gemara lists all them together, the Chodamachta, Rashi says there's an obvious distinction between Zorea, Notea, Mabrich, and Markiv, where I'm dealing with the Guf HaDavar, and Zomer, which is really an act of pruning where I'm not directly dealing with the rest of the tree that I want to grow, but I'm removing weeds that are impeding, that are interfering with the ability of the tree to grow. So that's what Rashi feels. If I don't do a maisa beguf hadavar, that's called a tolda. That's not considered to be a lav malacha. But according to Rashi, that if you want to be a lav malacha, both the pe'ula and the tachlis, or as our Salvation would say, the tzuras ha-malacha and the lechem macheres of the malacha have to be identical. And apparently the Rambam Shita is not like that. The Rambam contended, as we just saw before, that Zomer is also called an Abmalacha. Because the Rambam says that we're primarily interested, as he wrote, if you recall the Lashon of the Rambam again here on page number 4, the Rambam said that all these items, he says, Kol Eilu Ad Echad Hein, V'inyan Echad Hu. What are we interested in? The Malachas Macheres. We're only interested in the Tachlis. Shekol Achas Mehem Litzmach Dover Hu Miskavein. My interest is simply that it should enhance the growth. So even though it's true, the Malach of Zomer, in terms of its pe'ula, is different than the other four Malachas that I mentioned, but since the intent, the goal, is the same, to enhance the growth of the tree, to enhance the growth of the vegetation, therefore the Shita of Rambam is that all these are considered to be of those Malachas. The difficulty with this is another Rambam, that the Rambam brought in Meparshim Metz Kasha. If you look at Parakhes, also here on page 4, you'll see in Parakhes of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Beis, that the Rambam here quotes the Gemara that we mentioned in Maikadon, namely the Rambam Paskins here in Parakhes Halacha Beis, I'll read the din, Hazoreh Kol Shu Chayav, Hazomer Esa'ilam, Kineshe Yitzmach, I do pruning in order to enhance the growth of the tree, I raise the main Zorea. Aval hamashke tzmochim v'ilonos v'shabbos, for the person who does what? You irrigate the vegetation, you irrigate the ilonos, the trees, you water the field, I raise the toldo Zorea. So Abraham calls that a tolda. The chayim holshu, as we mentioned before, the question is, why is this a tolda? This has the same tachlis, the same malachas macheves as Ria and Netia. Why isn't it an av? And the truth of the matter is that the Gemara Vayikadon that we saw a moment ago on page number 2, and this already is a diuk that's already made, the Gemara uses the lashon of Machlokes Rabban Rabbi Yosef, Amashke Mayim Lizroyim, Ayuchayim Mishum Choresh, Ayuchayim Mishum Zoreah. So the lashon is, Chayim Mishum Choresh, Rabba says. Rabbi says, Yechayim Mishum Zoreah. How do you understand that language on Mishum? So I guess it could be, it lends itself to a number of interpretations, but certainly one interpretation might very well be that this pe'ula, this action that I'm doing, is subsumed under another rubric. Not that this pe'ula itself constitutes an ad malacha, but it's a tolda. And so it would seem that the Rambam Shita perhaps is similar to Rashi, that in order for something to be an ad malacha, it has to be similar in the tzuras ha-malacha, in the pe'ula, in the action that is done, it has to be similar to the ad malacha. But the Rambam Shita is that what is the tzura, what is the pe'ula of Zoreah, where you take and do something in the item that's going to be planted in the ground. You deal with the seed itself. That's also an example. I water a field, but I'm not directly in contact with the field itself. I'm not directly in contact with the vegetation. I'm not directly in contact with the item that's growing. It's an indirect kind of contact. By watering, by irrigation, I help the growth of the field. So homachlogis is essentially how to define the malach of Zoreah. What's the definition of this malach of Zoreah? How is it to be defined? But again, all this is simply being said by way of a kind of hakdama, a kind of preamble, because we have to understand the nature of the malachas of Shabbos. And now I'm just going to turn to a discussion of the malacha of Zoreah, which is really part of my mission this evening in the shiur that I'm giving,
This is all at Dhamma, so we didn't really start yet.
I'm cognizant of the clock, and therefore I have to be sensitive to people's sensibilities. I'm going to try to do that as best I can, since it's let's say Shabbos a bit later. But I'll try to explore some of the basic elements of Zoreya. In front of you, on page number one, is the Rishash, maybe one of the most famous comments of the Rishash in Shas. Rishash is really a beautiful Perush on Shas, and he has many, many outstanding Ha'aros all over Shas, in many, many Masechtos. And here he has one of his most famous Ha'aros on the Mishnah of Hazoreya. The Mishnah tells you, Avos Melachos Abayim Chaser Achas Hazoreya. So the Rishash, it's in the microscopic print, but actually if you want to see it in a bit larger format, you'll take a look on page number 5. The Egle Tal calls this Rishash, a bit easier. On the upper left-hand corner of the Rishash, so he writes, the Egle Tal, Shuv Yotzo Lorach Yidushe Rishash Rishash Tfu Zilna. Ra'isi, I see Shekasav, he has the following statement. Shin lokat hazera kodim shekolat. Let's say you plant the seed in the ground, and then you quickly remove it. You don't let the seed in the ground remain there for an extended period of time. Potter lin mafreya. The Rishash says you're not chayav for the act of zoreya. Umidamela. The Rishash compares this, and he does compare it. Lerode pas minatanur kodim sheteyafe. The Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos speaks about, if you remember, the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos, all of you are involved in Daf Yomi, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara, and actually I was told by people who lived in Europe that not so long ago, this was the custom. I don't know if any of you actually witnessed this or saw this, maybe David Ben Shoshlita, who has more experience in being a global traveler and geographic different venues. Perhaps you saw it, that my grandmother, La Shalom, told me that in Vilna, where she grew up, they would bring the cholent to the bakery on Friday, and they would plaster it to the walls of the oven. And everyone somehow had their own cholent, and on Shabbos morning, they would come and pick up the cholent from the bakery. They didn't have ovens, but the bakery had a major oven, a very large oven, and somehow people would recognize, each one would recognize their own cholent, and they would pick it up on Shabbos morning. So the Gemara speaks about this concept of, in the context of pas, they would attach the, obviously, flour and water, the dough, and the dough would be attached to the tanur. And now the question is, let's say a person went ahead and did something which was, the Gemara talks about ben hashmashos, taking the pas and putting it into the tanur, and then I realized I did something that was not correct up the halacha, and now I want to remove it. And I want to remove it before it becomes bread. What's the shear for bread? We have Mishnayos of Challah and Mishnayos elsewhere in Shas that the shear for bread is primas panim b'tanur, once it develops a crust. So now it's still in its doughy form. So I quickly removed the dough. It was attached to the walls of the oven. And now I engage in what's called rediyah tapas. I remove the dough from the walls of the oven in order that I should not be over there on Chil Shabbos. So now the question is that a proper thing to do or not a proper thing to do? Can I prevent the person from being over Achiyav Chatas? The Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos discusses in the context of someone else doing it. The Gemara calls it the issue of a person committing a chet, Kedei Sheyitzke Chavercha. I do it in order to prevent someone else from violating a chet. So the Rishash compares that Gemara to this situation. Namely, a person plants a seed in the ground, and then a little bit later, before Hashrosha, before it roots in the ground, you remove the seed from the ground. So when the Mishnah said Hazoreya is Chayav, what does that mean? Just the act of planting the seed in the ground? For that alone, that's called the Mice of Zoreya, for which you are Chayav for the Malach of Zoreya. Or do we assume no? The only chayv when hashrosha takes place, when it roots in the ground, and that takes a while. The Gemara speaks about hashrosha taking 3 days. But it's certainly not happening right away. It may take a few hours, but it's not going to happen the moment you plant the seed in the ground. So the Rishash contends that if I pull out the zera before it's niklat, you have patur. And the Agmeital is going to discuss this question. He disagrees with the position of the Rishash. He quotes a Yerushalmi. He quotes a Chinuch. I'll get to that hopefully in a little while. But the assumption of the Egmeital and the assumption of the Michas Chinuch, and you'll see at the end of this paragraph, if you have the Egmeital in front of you, in the upper left-hand corner, towards the end of the paragraph that's listed as Osches, the last seven lines, he writes, Shuv Ra'isi B'Sefer Magen Avot. Magen Avot is a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos by Mordechai B'nei, one of the Gdolei HaPoskim. He wrote, V'dad D'Zriya B'Chayav, Alfa Gav Shein Osin She Yisharesh B'Shalos Nikomakom, Kevin Shazorea Adaita She Yisharesh, Umin Meili Yisharesh, Abalei Akshav Zriya HaGoyim HaShrosha Chiyuva D'Zriya. He contends the way the Magen Avot contends, that the act of Zriya itself is enough to be mechayev you. Just planting the seed in the ground, that's the issa of Zorea. And even though it requires hashrosha, but if l'chatchila, why did I plant the seed? My intention was that the seed will grow. The seed will become rooted in the ground, and then it will germinate. If that's the case, even though it has not yet germinated, and a few hours later, or a bit later, I decide to remove it from the ground, it's irrelevant. I'm chayev, bishum, the act of Zorea. And as I indicated, that's what the Minchas Chinuch also has a similar position. That seems to be the simple shot in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says HaZorea, what is the Mishnah telling us? It defines the Malacha as being a Malacha where a person plants a seed in the ground. Once I plant the seed in the ground, that's the Malacha. Then the Rishash also adds an additional dimension. That same Rishash, which is not quoted over here by the Egmeital, he quotes it in another context. The Rishash ends, if you take a look back at page 1, you'll actually see this in the Rishash on top, that the Rishash actually adds one more. He has several Nekudos here that are very famous. But another Nekuda, he says that in terms of the act of Zriya, that what about Ofer? Let's say a person were to go ahead and bake something on Shabbos, Samach L'Chashecha. Right before Shkia, let's say 10 minutes before Shkia, I put something in the oven on Shabbos afternoon. So 10 minutes later, Shkia, Be'ash Mashas, Kesek Chavin. Let's assume it takes 2 hours for the baking process to be completed. And the item is going to reach Krimas Ponim Mitanur 2 hours later in my Chayiv for that act of Ofer. The Mishnah said, among the Malachas, Ha'ofer. And Rashi points out, of course, right here, that Ofer really wasn't in the Mishkan, as Ofer refers to Pas, and Pas is not connected to Malachas HaMishkan, but really, that's not the point that Rashi is making. What Rashi is telling you, that Ofer, Bishol, so one would interpret the Mishnah in a literal kind of way, the act of Afir begins when I put the dough in the oven. I should be chai for that action. Comes the Rishash and indicates that wherever you have a malacha that has what he calls a pu'ula and a nif'al. So even though the nif'al, which means the consequence of that which I do, is only going to take place after Shabbos, in the case of Afia, it won't be baked into a piece of bread till 2 hours later, which is Motzei Shabbos, but it's sufficient for the fact that I went ahead and put the pas in the tanur, that I'm chayiv already for that pu'ula. The pu'ula takes place on Shabbos, so therefore I'm chayiv, even though the act of afiyah is not going to take place till after Shabbos. So again, as I indicated, that the Rishash now takes two malachas, Zuriya, indicating that there, the act of Zuriya per se is not the malacha, but rather the hashrasha. It has to be rooted. And yet when it comes to afiyah, the act of putting the dough in the oven is already a mechayev of afiyah, because where I have what he calls a pe'ula and a nifal, the pe'ula is on Shabbos, even though the nifal will only take place after Shabbos, the halacha is that I'm going to be, in the case of afiyah, responsible and chayev for that action.
What's the nifal? The pu'ula is putting it in
the consequence. The consequence of the malacha, namely the ultimate goal, that it become a piece of bread, a piece of cake. That is the ultimate goal that I'm obviously wanting to achieve. And the, there's a lot of discussion on this topic now. Again, if you look at the Egbet Tal indicates, as I said, he's calling on the Rishash, the Chaschilich is calling on the Rishash, the Magen Avos is calling on the Rishash regarding Zoreya, and their argument is that, no, even if I pull it out, the seed of the ground, before Ashrosha, I'm going to be Chayav, and they bring a Raya from a very famous comment of the Sefer HaChinuch. And this Sefer HaChinuch was quoted actually by the Egbet Tal. I'm not going to go through the entire Egbet Tal, but maybe this one you can see on page number 5 in the right-hand corner. He writes, he quotes this Chinuch, Achla'isi b'Sefer HaChinuch, Pashas Kitzeitzei, Sinan Tal Chut Menchen, B'Zad HaShono. It's going on the Easter of the Torah. The Torah says that there's an Easter of Klai HaKeren. Lo Sizrat Karmachol Kiloyim. Not allowed to plant Kilayim in a Keren, a vineyard. And the Chinuch writes the following, the second line of El Zayim. The Ovre El Zeh, B'Zorah Chito, Sorah, V'Chatzim, Mapolet Yad, Logim, V'Naraisim, V'Yach, Zorah. When it comes to Kilayim, the moment you plant the Kilayim, you're over. The act of Zriya, the Torah says, Lo Sizrat. You're not allowed to plant Kalayim. You plant Kalayim, you're over. However, regarding the second part of the Pasuk, the Torah says, Ten tikta shamlei azera shetizra suas hakorim, that Klai HaKerem is also ba'ano, that does not take place. The Yisra ano, alach ha'ashrosha. So what do you see? There are two different aspects here that we are focused on when it comes to Kalayim. One is the Maisa Abeira, which is the act of Zriya, planting Klai HaKerem, and then the Yisra Anor, Pentikdash. But that takes place later on. But the act of Zriya in and of itself is just the act of planting Klai HaKerem. You take Chita, Sora, V'chatzon, and together it's planted. That is an Yisra Daraisa. You get Malkus at that point in time. Says the Egbet Tal, quoting the Chinuch, I'm Mefurish, the Chosh of Zriya, Afshu Lo Yiklo Lebesov. Obviously, the act of Zriya itself is already the Yisr. The Imbo Hayah Yisr Rak Sheik Lodu Besov. Echi Yilokin Kodom Shosu Avodu Befor Al Shaddai Neshu Lasakein Shiotiyim. You can also pull out the Kalayim. Why can I simply pull out the Kalayim a few moments later and undo the entire Yisr? Just Derech Agav. This is just a very fascinating curioso. There's a famous sefer on Hilchos Shabbos called Shvistas HaShabbos, written by a Goyim. And he has a chiddush regarding Borer, which no one accepts. He contends if you do an act of Borer, which means I went ahead and I have a tarovus and I separated Tzedus from Lecho, so I'm over on Borer, and Yisra D'Oraisa. Assuming I don't use all the heterim of Borer. Miyad, Diyad, etc. Says the Shvitz HaShabbos. You can undo the act of Borer. How? Put it back together again. If you put the Taroas back together again, you're no longer over on Borer. So the Achreinim have a field day rejecting that position of the Shvitz HaShabbos. What do you mean? I did an Avera. I did a Malach of Borer. How can I undo it? So here, the Egbet Tal points out that the Rishash cannot possibly be correct, because if you were correct, why can I not undo the Klai HaKerem? Okay, I planted Kalayim in the Kerem. I mixed different species, which is also, that's the Yisra of Sizra Kamach HaKalayim. Don't do it! Take it apart! Once you take it apart, you've voided the problem. Similar to what the Shvitz HaShabbos says regarding Borer. So he says, of course, that's not possible. The moment that I plant the Klai HaKerem, I'm over. The act of Zriya. That's what's awesome. I get Malkus. It's true, the Yisra HaNoah doesn't come about till it's Niklat. So here is again a Raya that he brings from the Chinuch, that the act of Zriya, the Maisa Zriya, is that which is awesome, even though the act of being Niklat, the act of being rooted, becoming somehow solidly anchored, only takes place later on, because otherwise, how could you get Malkus? Now, if you take a look here in the Egbet Tal on page 5 in the Hagor, there's a Hagor, which is The Eglin Tal quotes from a Chacham who claimed that he wanted to be Mechalik. He wanted to distinguish between Shabbos and Kavayim. Never the twain shall meet. You can't compare Shabbos to Kavayim. Obviously, that's exactly what the Eglin Tal is saying from the Sefer Achinuch. You see a Raya that the act of Zriya is that which is the Mechayim in the case of Kavayim, and so too by Shabbos. So this Chacham that the Eglin Tal quotes said, no, there's a distinction between these two areas. What's the distinction? That in Shabbos, what is our interest? Melachat Machsheves Asra Torah. So the Melachat Machsheves of this Melacha is that what? That it should be Mishtaresh. It should become rooted. Once it develops roots, that's when the Iser in effect is Chal. But in the case of Kalayim, where there's no concept of Melachat Machsheves, Shabbos has a din, Melachat Machsheves Asra Torah. As I said before, there's both the Pe'ula and the Tachlis. There's the Tzuras HaMelacha and the Melachat Machsheves of the Melacha. So therefore, the Melachat Machsheves of the Melacha, that only is going to come about after Hashrasha. Masha'en Ken, Kelayim, the Torah says, Le'siz Rakamacho Kelayim, the act of Zriya, that which only is also. So the Eglin Tal takes issue with this. He says, no, there's no distinction. Even in the context of Melachat Machsheves, there's no requirement that the Machsheves should be Mekuyim Machakach. The very fact that you went ahead and planted a seed in the ground, the same as you plant Kalaya Kerem, you're over for the act of Zriya. Here also, you're over for the act of Zriya. And further, he goes on to explain, in terms of the second comment that was made by the Rishash, when a person goes ahead and does an act of Vafiya on Shabbos, Samuch Lachashecha, before it gets dark, and the Gemara Afiyah is going to be much later after Shabbos. So the Eglin Tal was machriya against the Rishash because, again, the assumption is that somehow both the Pe'ula and the Nifal have to occur on Shabbos. And that's the argument that is obviously taking place over here because clearly those who argue otherwise contend that that's not the case. In general, the assumption of the Minchas Chinuch and the Eglin Tal and all these achronim that everything has to take place on Shabbos. Both the action that I do, as well as the ultimate result, the ultimate consequence, the ultimate goal, both of these have to take place on Shabbos. But Hayotzi Mikol Dvareinu is a very significant statement that, and you take a look at, again on page number 5, in the Eglin Tal, in the right-hand column, he says, the Al-Kolponim Divri Achinuch Baru Milulo, the Chiyuv Kalayim Mishat Zriya, Al-Kolim Klita. The Chiyuv of Kalayim is the moment I'm Zorea, the Ken Kolshkin Gabi Shabbos, the Chiyuv Tekin Mishat Zriya, and he points out, because by Kalayim, the Pasuk says, Son Chavos Sizra, and Yechai Mishat Zriya, and Kolshkin Gabi Shabbos, even if you were to remove the Zera from the ground, the din is unquestionably you're going to be chayav. And it's interesting that, again, what the Torah offered was doing a ma'isa melacha of planting a seed in the ground. And once I plant a seed in the ground, so therefore, the halacha is, I'm chayav mishum zorea, I'm chayav mishum kelayim. And again, this is very, very significant. Now, I'll mention, while I'm at it, another also significant element here, which is requires a bit more analysis, which we're not going to do, but I'm just important to mention this idea. When we speak about the pe'ula of Zariah, and we define it as planting a seed in the ground, but the Magen Avos, the Sefer that I mentioned a moment ago, Rav Mordechai Ben-Ei, points out, what is the essence of Zariah? He says, Shemechase Hazera Bekarka. Another chiddush, that you have to cover the Zera with earth. Not just simply planting the seed in the ground, but also covering the zera with earth. And the Eglin Tal is calling on this as well. And he brings actually a Gemara, a number of riots against this idea. And the idea is actually that he brings against this is a Gemara in Makkos. Again, I'm not going to go through the Gemara itself, but the Gemara speaks about there what it calls Mechapeh Dekelayim. The Gemara says, if a person goes ahead and covers up Kilayim, you're going to get Malchus. And He brings also a raya from the Gemara we just learned in Shabbos and Daf and Gimel that the Tana Rav Misha is talking about Eretz Yisrael, where first they have to sow and then they have to do Chavisha. They're doing it twice because Rashi explains you can't cover the Zera without Chavisha. Mashma from Rashi that on the act of Zriya Yechaya before you do the first Chavisha, and that's without Kisoy. And Abyanai, the Gemara in Makkos that says, Hamachapi Bikalayim Loke, he's Mechadish, and even just the act of covering the Zera is also Chayim. That's also apparently one of the elements of Zriya, is not just putting the seed in the ground, but also covering the seed with earth. So that's an important issue as well, that's Nogea to Zorea. And I'll just again, I mentioned a few moments ago, that there's a machlokes between, we said, Rashi and the Rambam, what the shear for Zeruya is. Let's just repeat it, that the Rambam Shita and Perachesach of Shabbos here, the shear is the Kol Shehu, Rashi Shita is that all of them have the shear of Grogeres, with the exception of Choresh. Only Choresh has the shear of Kol Shehu. But again, the idea of Zoreah has the shear of all the other Malachas of Shabbos, with the Shia of Kol Shehu, and that's what the Mechassidic assumes as well. And again, the Magid Mishneh brings sources to the Rambam, because we had Mishnayos, if you remember, in Perek HaMatzniah, many, many Mishnayos that speak about someone who's Matzniah the Zera, and on Shabbos goes out, does an act of Hotzah, is Chai B'Kol Shehu. The first Mishnah in Perek HaMatzniah indicated that. And again, as I said, that it would seem that there should be no distinction. The only svara that we said earlier was that somehow Choresh is in a different category than all the other melachos of Sidur of the Pas. But this is a very significant issue, and I want to mention another issue as well, which I can't really discuss at great length, but just briefly. There's a Rambam also, if you take a look at the Rambam in Perches, Halacha Beis. So the Rambam here has another Kiddush with reference to Zoreah. That's an important Kiddush. Rambam says in Perachet Halacha Beis, I'll read it again on page number 4, Hazorea kol shehu chayav, hazomer esayilu kedei sheyitzmach harezem ein zorea, avon hamashke tzmochim bilonos b'shamos harez the tod of zorea, the chayav b'kol shehu. And then the Rambam adds the following statement, v'chein hashora chitim u'sorim, v'chayotze v'hem b'mayim. I go ahead and I take wheat and barley, and I steep it in water. I place it in water. The Rambam says, "Harezet tolda zareya dechaya b'kol shehu." That continues to be a tolda of zareya because the wheat and the barley in the water is somehow ultimately going to germinate. It's going to somehow the vegetation there is going to grow, and therefore that's continued to be an act of zareya. The problem is that this is against the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara has in Masechet Zvachim, and this is discussed actually at great length by all the Gdolei Achronim. The Gemara says in Zvachim, you can actually see it in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Vav, right directly below the Rambam on page number 4. The Mechaber quotes this din, he quotes the Rambam, Hashor Rechitim Musaorim Rechayotzimem B'mayim HaRezit Tov Zoreah V'chay B'kol Shu. And right away, the Magen Avraham, right here on the spot, on page number 4, asked the kasha for the Gemara in Zvachim, and that's how the Gemara of the days. The Gemara seems to say the opposite. The Gemara says that only if you are Zorea Pishton, are you Chayav, and you're Chayav Mishum Losh, because of an act of Lisha. I'm not going to go through the Gemara, but take a look at the Magen Avraham. He writes on that din in Shin Lamed Vav, Sifyud Aleph. It's in the Magen Avraham, in the right-hand column of that, Shulchan Aruch Sifkot Yud Beis, the Tzorach Yin, the Mizvachim, that's how the Dalad Aminon, Hazorea Zera Pishtad B'mayim. My time of Chayav, the Gemara says, why is a person liable for taking flax and putting it in water? Ilayim v'mishum de mitzameach, because it's going to grow from the water. So Havalei Zorea, Yochi Chitim V'sorin Nami, the Gemara asked the Kasha, what about Chitim V'sorin? Why is there a distinction between flax placed in water and Chitim V'sorin placed in water? So the Gemara answers, no, in the case of Pishtam, Hasim Ka'avid Lisha. In the case of flax that's placed in water, it's going to be nidbak. It's going to coagulate. It's going to somehow join together and merge. Ayin shav, the mashmat in chayim, ele bepishtam, shavosh. Abba Bechitim Misorim Potter. It's Mashma Dachitim Misorim, you would not be liable. And the question, of course, is what's the difference? And secondly, why does the Gemara mention Lisha? She said Zorea. So right away, the Magen Avraham, the last 5-6 lines says the Yeshoma, the Pishon Chayim Tekev, Shenof the Bamayim Mishum Losh. The case of Pishon, it's going to coagulate, it's going to merge together, and there'll be a Lisha. Lisha means where you have a Taromus that's created, a mixing. Abba Bechitim Misorim and Ochayim, El Beshorim Zman Orach. He says a very interesting Kiddush. That Chitim Misorim placed in water is not going to be liable unless you leave it there for an extended period of time. And that's why it says Hashora. The word Shora means to steep, to leave for an extended period of time. You want to soften the chitim for animal. So what do? You put it in water. And you do that on Shabbos. And of course, we're talking about animals that you're obligated to feed. And that is mutter and permissible on Shabbos. But the halacha is that you do it and then don't leave it there for an extended period of time. There's no problem. So he makes this distinction. But if your intention would be, again, the Rambam is talking about Zman Orach, says the Magen Avraham, then it's going to grow. It remains there an extended period of time. And the Gemara is talking about it should be chayv right away. So the Egnei Tala says on this as well, that if my intention would be that I wanted to grow, then Enechanami, he said, I'd be chayv even for this action right away. So this is a second issue, also a very significant issue. I'll just mention one more issue, and then I'll mention one halacha lemaisa component of all the discussion that we had. The Gemara talks a lot about, and we call it from the Dapei Hayomi, what's the din if a person puts a seed in an otzitz shein or nokov? If the otzitz is nokov, it's connected to the ground through a hole, and it's yomek from the ground, it draws its substance from the ground, that would clearly be osur. That would be an act of zoreah. What about an otzitz shein or nokov? If the otzitz, a flower pot, is not perforated, does not have a hole, so even though the flower pot is essentially connected to the ground, but because there's no perforation, there's no unika. There's no drawing from the substance of the ground. So the chayyadim has a suffix. A famous suffix, whether you're chayyav or not chayyav, the maskan is that you are chayyav. So it would seem that why should I not be chayyav? Because why is it different than a person who puts chitim and tzorim b'mayim? This is relevant, by the way, to the issue of putting flowers in water. You receive the bouquet of flowers there of Yom Tov, and now you want to put it in water. So if it was, again, the water prepared before Yom Tov, before Shabbos, yeshal mi lismach. But if there's no water there, and now you want to put it in water, this is the issue that we are discussing. The Egnei Tal claims that the suffix of the chayyadim, whether you can have zriya in an otzitz shein or nokov, he says, you're potter, because ain't derech zriya b'otzitz shein or nokov. This also is a very important din in Hilchos Shabbos. Whatever malacha I do, it has to be the derech to do the malacha in this way. And we have ain't derech bishul v'kach, ain't derech borei v'kach, ain't derech zriya v'kach. That's not what people, that's not how they perform the act of zoreya. They're not going to go ahead and in an otzitz shein or nokov, be zoreah. This is Rashi in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chesed and Aleph says it explicitly. However, apparently, there is a practice to go ahead and take chitim and tzorim, steep it in water, in order that it should somewhat grow, and then take that and put it in the field. After there's been some growth in the context of the water, then you go ahead and put it in the field. But to be zoreah in an otzitz nokov, and then to plant it in the field, there's no basis for that. You may as well plant it directly in a nokov. Anyway, I mention all this because there are, as I said, a fair number of issues that are relevant here. And I just mentioned the last issue and then bring it down. Halacha l'maisa, the Agos Ashri quotes in Perek HaMotzi Yayin of Masechet Shabbos, a person who takes an otzitz nokov, it's connected to the ground, and now I remove it from that connection and put it on stilts, put it higher up. So now the question is, am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? Because, again, now it was connected, and now it's disconnected, but still there's some unique that's taking place. Even though it's at a distance from the ground, it's now agabe yitzedot, it's on pegs, Ubechalzo, there's some yinika that's taking place. And again, the question is, what is the nature of that item? Namely, is it asr? And the assumption of agos asri, it's asr with the rabbanim. Can't say it's asr with the raisa, mishum tovesh, or mishum kotzer. He didn't actually detach something from the chum of the kaka, but in some respects, there is a detaching that takes place here. I took it off this lakum, attached to the ground, yomik from the ground, and now I elevated it. I bring it up on high. And therefore, that's a kind of tolesh, albeit at a level of the abonim. And this is a subject of a massive, fascinating issue among the Zoli Achronim. And I'll just bring it down, as I said, halacha l'maaseh, to mention one of the most famous issues that described actually a great length. And this issue is discussed in the tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef. That's probably the most comprehensive tshuva on this topic that you can actually find. And he really goes through all the Mount Mekemes on this issue. And briefly, I'll mention the issue. If I have in my home, I have Shtilei Zrayim, or I have Prochim that are found in Atitin. I have flower pots, or I have flower pots on my windowsill. So now, can I open up the Tfisim on Shabbos? Am I allowed to open up the blinds, the shades, or the chalonot of my apartment? Because as a result, what's going to happen? Cool air will now come in, or perhaps sunlight will come in, and that will, in effect, enhance the ability of these plants to grow. Is that also? So we saw the Gemara by Kotten, Amashke Mayim Lezroim B'Shabbos, according to one opinion of Rav Yosef, Yechai Mishum Zorea. And the Rambam passes like Rav Yosef, Yechai Mishum Zorea. Because somehow, by virtue of irrigating the plants, obviously, that's going to enhance the possibility of Zriah. And here, when the rays of the sun come in through the window, I opened up the blinds, I opened up the shades. That's also going to enhance the growth of these plants, of these shtilim. So one might argue that maybe one should be machmir. Maybe that's called an action where you're liable for zoreah. And even though, what is my intention? My intention is I want to bring air into my apartment. I have no intention of causing my plants on the windowsill to grow, but perhaps it's a psik resha. And the Rambam actually paskins the halacha in general, I think in the first paragraph of the Shabbos, Rambam says, if I do an action, and as a result of that action, there are certain consequences that inevitably are going to happen, even though I have no intention to do that halacha, I'm chayav. So perhaps that would be the same over here. We know that the Shulchan discusses, this is a very well-known din, in Shin Lamed Vav as well, that say a person is eating in his garden on Shabbos. So, and I want to wash my hands in order to make hamotzi. So you're not allowed to go ahead and wash your hands when there are zroyim beneath you, because even though your intention is not lahashkotam, your intention is not to irrigate or to water them, but sikresha, assume you are on a deck, and the deck has areas where the water can go through, that's a situation that's awesome. It's called a halacha, actually. It's shoronach, shinam, above, siz, gimel. And perhaps the same thing should apply over here as well, that to open up the shades and the blinds are now going to enhance the growth of these plants that should be chayim, shum zorea. So Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal quotes a Rashba, a very famous Rashba on Kuv Zayin and Alf and Shabbos, who cites the Yerushalmi, that the person is allowed to close the door of his house on Shabbos, even though there's a deer that's inside, there's no Isra of Seda, because again, the Shulchan Gemara explains that even though you're doing something without Kavodah, and a psikresha would be chayav, that's only if in the action that you're doing, your interest is to do a davar asa. You want to do an act of tzedah. But if in the same action, which may have a psikresha element attached to it, you're doing a davar heter, and the meikar kavana is heter, then even though it's a psikresha, it's permissible. And those, when I close the door, it may very well be that the tzvi, the deer, is not going to be trapped. But that's a grama. The Gemara says clearly in Shabbos, Lo sasek ha-molocha, asiyah hu da'asar, grama sharit, gemar da'kub chaf of the days. And therefore, it would seem that I have no intention of trapping the tzvi, but rather I need air in my house. I rather, in the case of the Closing the door, I closed it for other reasons. That's a grub of Alma, and the Tzik Reisha that results is not going to be Mechayev me. And here also, one could argue that by opening the blinds, opening the window, air comes in, the sunlight comes in, the Kavanah is not for the purpose of growth, so therefore certainly, Yesh Makom L'Hakeil. This is a famous Shaila that's discussed, and essentially what I've done is what's called in halachic terminology in Yerodeya, Hasarat Amonea. Hasarat Amonea is found, for example, the Ramah quotes in Yerodeya, a din with reference to Chas V'Shalom, someone who's a gosei, someone who's in the throes of death, he's dying, but something is preventing him from dying. Namely, there's some individual who's chopping wood outside. That noise is preventing his death. Can I tell the wood chopper to stop chopping wood? Ramah passes yes. Because what have I done? I just simply removed the impediment to death. It's called Hasarat Amonea. So here also, it's a kind of Hasarat Amonea. When I open up the Trisim and the Chalonot, now I have the air, Avir Tzach, I have sunlight that's able to come in. And basically, what do the Trisim and the Chalonot do? They are simply preventing the sunlight from coming in. That's Hasarat Amonea. That's not a Maiseh there on Shabbos. It's pure Brahma Ba'alma. And therefore, that's not considered to be halakhically a problem. And this is, as I said, the subject of enormous amount of discussion that takes place. And it's based on the Gemara in Shabbos that we also had in the Pe'al from the Beis, where the Gemara spoke about if I have a parfisa, which is an upset snowball that's on the ground, and then I elevate it, as I just mentioned before, I put it on Gabi Yitzedot, on Chayim Mishum Tovesh, because essentially it was Mechum of the Karka, it had Yenika directly from the Karka. And now when I elevate it, it's no longer to the same extent Nana from the Recha Karka. So there's a kind of Tovish that took place. And the Gemara presents the other case, and I put it on the ground, I'm Chayim Mishum Notea. But Rashi points out the Issa at best is an Issa Ba'abodim. I'm not talking about the Issa in the Torah. If I'm Chayim in the Torah, then Chacham would not be able to matter the Torah which should cover Abriya. There the Gemara is discussing using it as tissue paper. But whatever the case is, you see again that it's not a problem. We pass the halacha that mutar lekanech b'tzror shaluba asadim, and again, all this is with the assumption that I'm not engaged in a maisa of zorea, even though there may be a sikresha a little bit over here. And this is one of the favorite topics of Zodi Achronim. So it would seem by halacha that, and this is halacha l'maisa, the way many paskin, that you're allowed to open up the trisim and the chalonot of the Dira Shabbos in order to bring in Avir Tzach, even though there are atitim that have zroyim and shoshanim, whatever it may be, even if it's at the windowsill, and the moment you open the blinds and the light, it will enhance the growth of the item, but it is definitely permissible, and even though there are those who are machmir, regarding these issues, but the Pashtus, it's not considered to be Zorea on Shabbos, except Derech Roma, not a direct kind of action. So, even though we have barely scratched the surface of this particular topic, I'll just mention one last thing, that Beg Leital raises this issue as well. He said, when it comes to Bishul or Ofer, as he mentioned before, earlier from the Rishash, but at one point, it's something continued to be mavushal. So the Gemara talks about it in Shabbos as well. And at one point, it's something continues to be afui. It has to go to an act of bishol. And if a person is makariyah de bishol, that's already a problem. Al pi halacha. Let's say a person wants to go ahead and I have a pot and I cover the pot, which is not yet cooked. It's a davar shalom bashal called tzarko. I cover it with a mikseh. That is continued to be Mikarev Tabishul, that's also Mishum Bishul on Shabbos, or Hadasa, stirring the pot. In Yiddish, to determine a Kochlefel. Kochlefel is actually used in modern terminology for someone who knows how to stir the pot, namely a human being who's a very energetic, sometimes full of excitement. So he's a Kochlefel. Anyway, I do an act of Hadasa, the Rambam says Yechai Mishum Bishul, so that's called Kirev Abishul. But in the case of Zorea, Zorea is different than Bishul. As I said here, it might require an act of Hashrasha, and this is the source of this machlokes, whether the act of Zorea itself is already considered to be a pu'ula for which you're chayav, or the halacha requires you that it has to be hashrasha, but rov ha'poskin assume that one is chayav just for the act of planting a seed in the ground, because that maisa of zorea is already a violation of the Mishnah and Shabbos. I just tried to present some basics, fundamentals relating to zorea, and obviously idach zil gemar, there's a lot more to do with emphasis zorea. Benatayim, you should have a chodesh tov and a shavua tov, and in this course actually you have the limud haTorah, Torah magno matzla, Torah actually protects. Hopefully we'll be able to eventually reconnect together.